Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and as always, we bring on interesting people to hear their stories so that you can compare yourself. I know that, you know, when you listen to people tell stories, I mean, like Lifestyles tells you what we do, it sounds too good to be true, but this next couple is going to show you that it's all possible. They've done quite a bit since they've been members, and we want to get into it with them. So without any further ado, we have Emrit and TK Mundra with us here today. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, Del.
Hi, guys. So let's start at the beginning. I think you guys have been on before, but we want to always start with, the motivation, because we're talking to people out there that are going, yeah, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if, if it can really work, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's our job to share with them that it really does work. So let's start with you. What was the factor in your lives that made you start looking for something different, and when and why?
I was doing an IT job, as many people does. Then I left it, and I didn't want to go back to IT job, because one thing we all have limited, that is time, and I wanted to make a good use of that. So I was researching, and then one of my friends told me about Lifestyles Unlimited, and as you said, it sounds too good to be true, and that's what I thought, but when we went to LU, it was totally different. I mean, it's wonderful. And that's the best choice we made when we joined Lifestyle. And we got a time, and the whole life changed. We had more freedom, as we could spend time with our family, which was priority for many. And we could do more useful things, more which makes difference to the community, by changing the quality of the other people's life as well. So that's about LU.
Do you remember, I know it's a long time back now, see, you guys joined up in 2016. Do you remember when your friend was telling you about it? The feeling of being skeptical, that somebody would actually help you do your business?
Of course. I mean, in this time, in the world we are living, it is hard to believe that. I mean, but we were very skeptical, but I was like, okay, no, we need to give it a try. There's nothing we're going to lose about it, but it's so amazing, and it's so true. It's like the perfect world. People do help you with wholeheartedly, and it's amazing, and they help you to achieve your goals, and they're so honest, so hardworking, and show you the right path. That's amazing. We love about that. We never felt like an outsider the day we joined LU. It's like whole one big family.
Let's take you to the first two day you did. Did you guys do it together, or did just you go, TK?
Amrit did, actually.
I went, Del. I went for 2 days. Yeah, so that was, again, a very amazing experience. Like you said, Del, it was kind of too good to be true. You see all these numbers, and I'm coming from engineering background, so I love crunching numbers. And after a certain point during this two course, then you start to think, yeah, the number does add up. Immediately after the second day, we actually signed up, so there was no going back after that.
Do you remember, Amrit, do you remember what the aha moment was for you when the light bulb went on and go, boy, this makes sense and this is for us? Do you remember that?
Yes.
That's a long time back.
Yeah. So before that, we used to invest in the stock markets. 401ks and invest as much as possible, mainly to the stock markets. And before that, during this two-day session, we were going through the scenarios, and there was one scenario where it was like it is specific for us because we did lost market money in the stock market. And then we were always counting on certain external factors to go and influence your stock. So you're always praying, and you're just gambling at that point. There was nothing in your control. And when we went to this workshop, and then say, yeah, that's my story. And like being coming from engineering, and when I saw the numbers, how the NOI works, and how the cap model works. So this whole thing was new for us back in 2016. So yes, that everything made sense after the 2 days.
So you came out planning to do multifamily right away?
Yes, yes. We came out very, very strong after that this is the right path for us, that we want to go into the multifamily. We did venture out to single family at later stage, but our initial thought coming out from the 2 day was that we want to start with the multifamily, and that's exactly what we did.
Guys, let's start with your approach. Now that you've been here a while, I like to look back and ask people, did you stick to your plan or did you do something different? Did when you got there, it was like, wow, things changed, the world opened up, closed up, went sideways. How did the plan work out for you?
The plan worked out really good. So we started back in 2016, at the end of 2016, 2017, we joined the lifestyle. A few months later, we did our very first investment as a passive investor. And then we made two more immediately after that. So for 2 years, we were as a passive. And in this was a process where we tried to understand the model, how the lead typically executes, try to learn about how the property executes, how to read the P&Ls. And one big change, one big difference with lifestyle provide is there's a lot of help. So we have mentors, we spoke to mentors, they help us to give us insight into a specific area we want to focus on. And in 2018, we made a call that, okay, we want to go into the lead route. So we went through a full certification of lead, went through training, which is there, and then also we need to be also blessed by mentors. And 2019 is when we first took our first deal as a lead. It was in Haltom City, 68 units. It was very unheard for us. I mean, coming from a simple family, and we are now owning a multi-million dollar property. Very different feeling at this point of time. Yes, it's. I mean, to that point, we have never seen so many dollars which we are directly accountable for. So it was very unique feeling. And at the same time, it's a humbleness and a sense of responsibility, because so many people who you met very few times, you have talked very few times, they are giving you hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's a very different sense of responsibility. It certainly comes in like, oh, we are now responsible for somebody else's fund, so we need to do everything possible to make sure we never lose anything from that. So that changes perspective, and that gives you more motivation to do what is right. And like TK earlier mentioned, that it's when you get involved, especially as a lead, then you start seeing that how you could improve the people life who are living in your community. What more can you do? And especially we have evaluated over years how some other people execute, and you come and say, oh, that's just not right. These are the people who are living there. If you treat them good, if you treat your staff good, it is going to reciprocate back. And that has always worked for us. So, yes, there was no turning back when we took a second property and then third and now fourth. So we right now hold three properties. We sold the first one in 2021, which we acquired back in 2019. Very good returns, almost 159% return to the investor. This 159, again, is giving after the original money back to our investor. And so many of those investors from our first deal are very good friends now, and they have invested with us since that to all our properties. So we make this friendship, this bond, which continues. And still did we get a call from them. Actually, yesterday we got a call from one of our investors, and he was just appreciating our hard work based on the monthly reports which we sent out last month. So yes, there was no turning back. There's no going back. And, yeah, we always follow the roadmap.
Let's take a half a step backwards. Do you think that it helped you to be a passive before you were a lead?
I think so. Because passive, that's our personal opinion, at least my personal, that being a passive gives us a very good perspective of what, as a passive, if you become a lead, what passive expects. You see what kind of reporting is required. You see the model, how it works. You try to understand the P&L. We are not being responsible P&L, but you try to understand for P&L because you get every month you get a statement, and you can ask your lead question about how they're operating. So being a passive for at least 2 to 3 years when we were there, we were paying very close attention to our investments to see how the leads are operating and get more information about the area, the submarkets, and you have access to the mentors at that point. So they also help you a lot.
Well, I just want to make a statement here for the people that are listening that you don't have to start as a passive. I just asked Emmerich because I think you should probably do at least one passive deal just so you can see how the whole process works. And like you said, understand what the passives are expecting and how they feel and how they feel about the way you treat them. So you've created this business. You've got many different people that are now counting on you. You've got your investors, obviously, and you've got your customers. And they're counting on you to take care of them. And the investors are counting on you. You also have other placeholders. You have your vendors. You got to get them paid. Get them paid on time. There's all these different people, right, that are now, their lives are being touched by you. How did you feel about that as you got into being the lead investor? Take us through the emotional pull for that.
Yes. So I'll go one by one. Yes, like you said, the investors are key to your business. There need to be a very good sense of trust between you and the investor community. They're giving you their hard-earned money. So the moment you get that money in your bank, I think you will see every lead goes through that there's a sense of responsibility has suddenly kicks in that you're not just dealing or playing with your own money now. You're playing with somebody else's money, and that person's money might be the retirement fund, his retirement fund. So you have to take it very, very seriously, and we are accountable for every last cent of that money. So that's the investor relationships comes in. We spend a lot of time talking to the investors. There are a lot of lifestyle events happens like a road trip, case studies. So we do our best to meet them. Have a face to the meeting, and a lot of time if they are some investor when they are down for some other business, they still want to meet us. They want to see the property they have invested in. So we always encourage that. They say, okay, let's go and meet at the office. So that way they can see where their money is actually going, and of course we have a judiciary responsibility to give them a fiduciary responsibility to give them the reports and respond to their question regarding the financing. So that's the investor. Second part, like you mentioned, is the resident, which is our customers. It's like any other business. If you treat your customer good, they're going to come back, they're going to stay. One of the big criteria which we mentioned is the renewal rate. It means how many people choose to renew their lease at the higher rent. That is one of the key metrics we track very, very closely. So we try to understand if somebody's leaving, what was the reason that he tried to go? And that reason cannot be that he was not happy here.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up on the rest of this conversation. We'll be right back with Emmerich, TK, and Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it is basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com, code 2024.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Here with me today on Tell Del Tuesday is Amrit and TK Mundra. And as we went to break, we were talking with Amrit about the responsibilities. I'm going to shift the conversation, Amrit, a little bit here. And let's talk about your first deal you did was a 68 unit. You made 150% rate of return. Excellent deal. Great. Got that out of the way. Now, here's where it gets interesting. You did three more apartment complexes as leads. And I don't think you could have done three more apartment complexes in a more complex and changing environment than you did from 2020 to 2023. So let's talk about each one and see what it was like and were there any significant challenges. For example, the next one you purchased, which is 152 units in Garland, Texas, and it's was purchased in November of 2020. Wasn't that when COVID was in place?
Correct. Yes, that was very unique time. Yes, every deal has some challenges as you try to acquire the deal. For this was a challenge because we were dealing with COVID at that time, and there were restrictions in place on how much can you enter when you are doing your due diligence, especially to the unit walks. So yeah, every deal came unique. This was a good property owned by an owner which held this property since at least 20 years. It was still operating in very old fashioned. The very first P&L we got was actually using typewriter. since I was born, I have, well, at least for 20, 30 years, I have never seen any document now was printed on typewriter. So literally the first P&L we got was coming out of a typewriter. And a lot of their information was given that way. So it was a unique challenge for us to take that information and feed into our own Excel formats and use some sort of IT critique coming from engineering background, use some creativity from our side to read that data and something which we could actually use. So that was a unique challenge, and that property we are still holding it. Property is doing very awesome. We touched almost 10% rate of return for our investors, and right now we are holding that, and we are continuing the distribution on that property.
Excellent. It is a marketplace right now for buying, not for selling, that's for sure. So a hold position is good if you've got a good, strong hold position. What about the next one? This one came up in April of 22. It's a 222-unit property in Fort Worth, Texas. What were the interesting facts or about this 222-unit in Fort Worth?
This is a very interesting story. 222 units, they are made up actually of two different apartment assets, both next to each other. They're half a mile away. We went to look to this property, and our broker forget to mention one important fact, that one of the building which has 8 unit had a fire and the complete building was down. So there was not even a roof. So I'm standing in front of a parking lot, and I'm looking at this building, and oh my God, there was a fire, and that the owner, the AVS owner, he was still working with the insurance, but now you're standing there and thinking, do I just turn around, take a U-turn, and go from there? The numbers was working, and then I call my mentor right from the parking lot, and I said, I'm here to look at this property, but I was not aware that there's one full unit which is had fire, and it is actually at the stud level. There's not even a roof. What do I do? And then he said, how are the numbers looking? The numbers are looking great. and the seller is going, maybe we can negotiate with seller to pay for everything. But that whole confidence and this talking to mentors, because if I were just by me, I would have just taken a U-turn. But we decided, no, we are going to pursue, and we asked seller to pay for the full reconstruction, and we put actually slightly more than what we needed. And as we speak of today, we have now full brand new units, 8 units, which are renting at $150 more than the additional units, because we put granite, we put their brand new units. So this type of confidence just comes with the right guidance, and you know there is somebody behind you who can help you. Especially for me, we have never dealt with the construction. We have dealt with management, and we have dealt with the whole new construction was a new area for us. But it was interesting, a lot of learning.
Was it one building or one unit? Which was it?
One building. It had 8 units, and all eight units were gone, and the whole building didn't have a roof, so the water was seeping in. So it was, yeah, that I still remember that, and my first instinct was, okay, wrong choice, let's go back. But I think it's right now, if you go back, and if you see right now, I think that was the right thing in this process. We learned a lot. We are not afraid of any constructions now. We can take more challenges. Now we also understand the construction aspect of it. And for this asset, this is awesome, because now we have 8 units which are not only adding to the revenue, they are adding more to the revenue because they are renting at a higher rent.
So in 22, was COVID still around, or had that passed by then?
It was at the tail end of it. It was, I think, at the tail end of the COVID.
All right, so you lived through the COVID on the first deal, the 152. A lot of people were very fearful because the government was Mickey Mousing around with the ability to evict tenants if they don't pay rent. They weren't letting us do that for a while. And we had to come up with all kinds of plans to get around that. During that situation, I had very little problem with it in my apartment complexes, but that might have just been the quality of my apartment complexes. But most people didn't seem to have any problem, like to the point of going out of business over this. They just had to work out payment plans and stuff with people. How did you fare through the COVID governmental rent restriction type stuff?
Yes, so we were under the full purview of the government because this was an agency loan. This was a Freddie Mac loan. And lot of restriction as imposed by the government was directly applicable for us. So we have to wait for, not do any eviction or wait for a certain number of days, 30 days or 60 days, based on what the CARE Act said at that time. It was a challenging time, especially we initially when the COVID started and we didn't know how to respond to that. So first course of action was that, we don't know how bad this is going to be, so first course of action was we stopped the distribution. So we started to save more of the cash in case we have to go, we have to execute an alternative plan. So that was the first course of action we did. Then we started putting a lot of our residents onto an online payment systems. So we brought in a new vendor, and we were encouraging residents not to come to the office, to the leasing office, and do as much as possible online, this including the maintenance tickets as well as doing the online payment. In fact, we were able to achieve 100% online payment, and that property is still in that level where most of our payments are right now online. They don't come to the office. Office was challenging at the time. We used to have 2 partition. We had to put kind of a glass in between. So there was a place where residents would come in, and they had to speak from a distance. So it's a very, very, very unique time. Fortunately, we didn't see any issue with the occupancy or delinquency at that point. We were still operating at 95 to 96% occupied, and right now we are almost 98, 99%, 100%.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, to me, that just we went right through COVID and where restaurants and stuff were just getting blown up. I mean, there's no way they could survive what they did to them. But we just kept on blowing and going. No big deal. When you first came in, were you surprised how open people were about their personal finances?
Yes, that was kind of a very, very surprising for us that people talk about their real numbers. They are not making an example. They are actually telling, especially if you are taking a help from another lead or from mentor, they are telling you, hey, this is how much it's going to cost you. This is how much I have invested. This is the return you can expect. So they are very, very open, very, very transparent. And as you build your relationship, then you will have your KPIs, which is your key principles, and then you start sharing a next level of relationship and bond where they are actually opening up their financial statement and showing you their assets, their total net worth, and it's kind of very, very different and amazing experience and how honest the people are, and they are really working to help you and to make you successful.
You know, it's funny when we talk about your friends. I was just thinking about it listening to you, and that is all of my friends are real estate investors. And I thought about that for a second. Why is that? I know lots of people that were my friends that weren't in lifestyles. But when they go out with all of our friends, which are from lifestyles, they find out everybody's a multimillionaire, and they found out how they did it, then all of a sudden they're in there doing it too. And so they end up coming our way. Kind of hard to hang out with a bunch of millionaires and not want to be a millionaire. Let's answer this question for me. Whatever amount of money you started with, I don't know what it is, but what has it done to your net worth?
Oh, our net worth has increased significantly. I would say close to at least doubled or tripled when we started, from the time when we started.
Okay. Let's talk about the children. What has this meant to your children's life?
For children, we have two daughters, 13 and 11-year-old, and they see us talking about real estate. They are hearing. They are still observing. Actually, both of them ask us question. Okay, what's apartment? And sometimes we are driving. They are like, oh, look, there is an apartment. And we took them to properties once a while, so they get to see the managers, they get to see the staff, and we try to tell them how important it is for us to manage the quality of our work, because it's impacting somebody else. So they try to understand that as well. So they are slowly getting in, still young, 11 and 13, but they are asking right questions.
Yeah, and the 13-year-old, she wants to be an entrepreneur now. Wants to invest in real estate already.
That's amazing. Kids won't listen to you, but they do watch what you do, and they copy.
Yes.
It's amazing. So let's talk about the future. What are your future family goals?
Our future goal for us is to continue in this journey. We enjoy being a lead, and we are right now actively looking for our next acquisition. And keep building from there. We want to leave a legacy behind us for our kids to. Our hope is that they start from where we live. That's our hope. And we try to bring them more and more and have this sense of entrepreneurship so that they can also continue this. So, the plan is to keep executing more on the lead path.
So is there... Well, I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to leave the last one. First question. Friends, acquaintances, business, ex-business people, did anybody give you a hard time for doing this, quitting your job and doing this?
It is not really. Some of the friends, there was a speculation that, hey, there was speculative of... is this right thing you're doing? You're working in a, especially when TK left her job and joined this one, that, hey, you are working on a almost six figure salary. Is it the right call you're making? But again, like TK said, for us, we sometimes have to value time versus money. And I think at the end, we are finding that there's also a lot of money over here in addition to the time. So there are people who are still likes to continue, but we are glad actually we executed on this part.
All right, very good. The last question: is fun allowed when you have engineers and IT people, very technical people? Is there fun allowed?
Fun is allowed, yes.
We got to go now. I want to thank you for coming on today and really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at the Expo. For the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.